For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, welcome back into another edition of the Believe in Cal podcast. I am Adam Eaton, and I'm here with former Cal Hall of Famer. Well, I guess not former Hall of Famer. Actual Cal Hall of Famer, former Cal All-American Jeff MacArthur. Jeff, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. It's great to be back.
It is great to be back. And before we go anywhere, we should remind everybody that we are exclusive on the Believe Podcast Network, which is, coincidentally, the Bay Area's number one sports podcast network, the only place with a show for every team in the Bay and more. We believe in our teams. Do you believe? And Jeff, did you believe what the last 2 weeks of Cal football would be like? Did you think it would be this way? Kind of the ups and downs, the twists and turns. Was this kind of what you expect to go into it?
No, not at all. I'm always pretty hopeful that we're going to go out and do well, especially in the passing game and against North Texas. Things that just didn't go as planned in my mind, but I was worried, and I'm really not that worried anymore based on what happened the past weekend against Ole Miss.
Yeah, let's take it back a few weeks. The North Texas game, so obviously a 23-17 victory. But you wouldn't have known it, Jeff, if you had gone on social media after the game. Fans and rightfully so, there was some frustration. There was some confusion. I guess if you had to sum up just from a player standpoint, from a coach's standpoint, how would you describe to somebody who maybe didn't see the North Texas game, how would you describe what happened in that game?
Well, I mean, to be honest, it's one of those things where you jump out on people and you get a big lead, and sometimes you're just trying to get the game over with. And it felt like, we came out fast, which is something we really don't do often. And again, I think we got complacent, and we're probably just packing it up mentally and ready to get off the field and go home with a W.
What did you like about what you saw? I mean, obviously, I think those are some factors that played in, but there were some positives. So what did you like from the team and the North Texas game?
Again, really just finally breaking the curse of being a slow start team and going out 21-0 in the first quarter. That was huge. I like the fact that we remained 3-0. We had a chance during that game where they could have come back and won the game, and I think we did a great job of just protecting our lead and coming out with a victory.
I think my biggest takeaway, so as I watched the game, and I like to watch the games, and I don't really get married to any thought. I start going through social media and seeing what folks are saying, and wait till you get to the quotes post game. And here's my biggest takeaway, and it may be somewhat controversial. I'm not trying to be controversial with this one, but I know there's a lot of people frustrated. I was perfectly good with it. You know why? Because if you're going to be a good football team, we see this year in and year out, you have to win games that maybe you're not playing your best. You have to win ugly. You have to win pretty. You have to win, with some grit. There's so many different ways to win. And if you think about the teams that have success year in and year out, it's the teams that can go and do that stuff. It's the teams that can go on the road and win an ugly game. It's the teams that can blow out a team they're supposed to blow out. It's the teams that can then, be consistent. And the biggest consistency you need each week, Jeff, is winning. And while it wasn't pretty and it wasn't, it wasn't something that I think you'd put on the film and everyone would look at it and be like, look at that, this great, beautiful game that was played. At the end of the day, it was a W. And I think I took away from that, hey, this team can play with anybody in any setting. And even when they're not their best, they can still come out with a W. So I know winning ugly is not the preferred method, but it's still winning. And that's my biggest takeaway is, they weren't firing all cylinders. And there are certainly some things that could have been better. But at the end of the day, the scoreboard showed them on top. And for my estimation, that's all that matters.
Adam, I'm so glad you put it that way, because that's something I just experienced as a coach at I'm at St. Monica High School, and we had a very ugly win this past weekend also. And this was a message that I sent to our team, because I didn't want us to doubt ourselves. I didn't want us to feel like we were not as good as we thought. But you do have to find a way to win the ugly games. You're going to have games with turnovers, things don't go your way. And the measure of a good team is definitely how they overcome adversity.
Yeah, for sure. Again, I get it wasn't aesthetically pleasing. I get that, teams want high-powered offense. It's also interesting. I mean, Cal is kind of doing something that's counterculture right now, right? Everyone's got high-flying offense. You know, the air raid or the zone read is huge. You know, teams are trying to find ways to put, 40 and 50 points on the board each week. And Cal's kind of doing a counterculture, which I think for a while, some fans have been sort of skeptical about, can you win that way and will that work and so on and so forth. And I think what I took away from North Texas is, this their style, they know how to play their style and they can play it well. And even if they're struggling, I mean, Chase was 9-22 that game, I think, even when they're not firing on all cylinders, their style will work. And I still wonder if just some people are, maybe now they're believers, but after that game, it seemed like there was a lot of skeptics about whether or not, whether or not that style will hold up.
Well, and it's again, we're used to having letdowns. I think in the past few years, like look at last year, we were ranked and by the end of the season, we weren't ranked anymore, but we've had a lot of disappointment in our history. And so people are quick to kind of tuck their tail and run away. But there's just something really different about this team. And it's been, I think Coach Wilcox has just done a really good job at getting these guys to just stay focused on the task at hand. And, even with the injuries, look, I mean, we're going next guy up and not missing a beat. So that's pretty promising.
Yeah. What did you make it? I know you and I chatted before and you were talking a little bit about what you saw from Chase that day. What did you make of his performance specifically against North Texas?
Well, the North Texas game, I couldn't figure out whether it was him or Coach Bo Baldwin or Coach Wilcox or who, but, you get the idea that we were really afraid to turn the ball over, and that I think over the course of time with Chase, it was hammered in his head that as long as he doesn't throw picks or fumble the football, that we have a chance at winning because of how good our defense is. So, I couldn't figure it out, but it was frustrating. That's for sure. That North Texas game was frustrating because we needed to prove to ourselves that we have the ability to make big plays. And, at least for me, I was kind of tense about it because we were going to Ole Miss the following week. And I really wanted to believe in the offense.
Is that a coaching technique? I mean, obviously in your experience now as a coach and even as a player, will coaches do that? I mean, is it possible that Coach Baldwin is keeping it really close to the vest because he wants to protect against turnovers? Is that something that you think is realistic or it would be a part of the game plan?
Absolutely. I think based on Bo Baldwin being he's definitely in the spotlight. A lot of people were wanting him to no longer coach at Cal. They wanted him fired. And so, with that said, that's going to definitely it would cause me to make sure I was conservative and make sure I was calling the right plays and trying to avoid unforced errors at all costs.
The other thing I think you mentioned that you were really interested to see was a lot of backups, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, got some valuable playing time as that game wore on. How big is that? You think about it's a long season, still many big games to come. I think the heart of the schedule really now coming on right now. How big of a deal do you think it is that some of those younger guys or some of those more inexperienced players got on the field and kind of saw live action against North Texas?
Well, I know from experience that game experience is very key. You can practice and it's just nothing can really simulate what a game is like. So it gives us a chance to evaluate guys and see what they can do when live bullets are flying. And, with familiarity, you go against your offense every day. So, again, having those plays being made in practice isn't the same as doing it against a team like North Texas. And it was good because the game was still on the line and they were playing for something. So, I think that was really huge.
So I want to take you through this. I'm not gonna publicize the account, but there was a Cal fan on Twitter who had posted a question and got a lot of responses. I want to read a couple of these responses. Again, this is post North Texas. So obviously hindsight is really important now, but this is post North Texas. I want you to read some of these, or I want to read some of these to you. You tell me what your perception of these is. Okay. So one person said, it's one of the smallest crowds I can remember seeing at CMS. The lack of offense and the fact that we'll be facing two tough teams in our next home games means we have a chance to win both, but crowds will stay away from the game. I know that was a little topic of conversation. What did you make of the home attendance for the North Texas game?
Skepticism. People just haven't completely bought in yet. And on top of that, I mean, 3-0 is cool. But, you know, again, North Texas is – nobody knows who North Texas is. I think if it was UT or something, it'd be different. But as far as Cal fans, it has to be either UCLA, USC, Stanford, somebody like that. And but the Arizona State game, we got a chance for it to be packed. Just based on them having a good record, and we're highly ranked now.
This guy said the Cal offense is beyond terrible. As soon as North Texas put a spy on Garbers, the offense came to a complete stop. Accurate?
Well, no, absolutely not. We're not terrible, and even you know, I believe that we are going to be one of those teams that we will do whatever is needed to win. I don't think we go into it, you know, saying we're going to throw for 380 yards or we're going to, you know, they're just more so concerned about doing what it takes. And if that takes running the ball, you know, 30, 40 times, then they'll do it, or whatever it takes, they're going to do it. So I think they just adapt and, you know, have faith.
All right, last one I'll read to you here. This one says, Garbers looks lost and hesitant to throw even when he had time. When he was rushed, I thought I saw Bowers out there with all those turnarounds. I don't think we're going to get far with him at QB. At this rate, why not throw more screens and slants?
Football don't work like that. You know, you just don't go out and say, oh, I'm going to come out and throw screens and slants. It's a chess match out there. And I think that Chase was doing a great job of protecting the football and not forcing anything, but at the same time, no risk, no reward. So he was playing it safe because we could do so and still win the game.
And that we did. Again, 23-17 was the win. So, you know, that's just a smattering of the skepticism. And it's funny, right? So one week you're down and the next week you're up. So so Cal travels two time zones away and takes on Ole Miss in Mississippi, SEC Stadium. You know, it was 11 a.m. Kickoff, I think, essentially for them in Ole Miss. So the body clock situation for Cal. So let's start big picture again. I think we know what happened, obviously. But going into the game, how confident were you that Cal could match up in a quote-unquote SEC-style game?
I was very confident just based on us. We had beaten Ole Miss, was it in 2016 or 17? But just based on that alone, I had a good feeling about the game, and I wasn't surprised at the outcome at all. No.
Well, I think what a lot of people were surprised about. So we just read all those quotes. Even you kind of mentioned, hey, you know, the North Texas game, the offensive, you know, play calling maybe a little conservative. What the heck happened in Ole Miss? All of a sudden, the playbook was opened up. Chase was, you know, was a madman back there, 23 or 35, 357 yards, four touchdowns. Again, this is coming off a 9 of 22 for a buck 29 performance. I guess, first off, what do you think, you know, do you think that's something in the game plan that, you know, that Chase or Coach Baldwin saw against Ole Miss that recognized that, hey, the passing attack was going to be available to us? Or do you think it was one of those moments like you talked about where Coach Baldwin said, I just got to let Chase let it rip? Or maybe it was a little bit of both, I guess. Which one do you think is more plausible?
Well, I honestly believe that that our better matchup or better chance at winning that game was in the air. Ole Miss had a very solid front and just some big boys out there. They're always going to be a little bit bigger than we are in the SEC. And I think that we did what we needed to win, just like we spoke about earlier.
Well, again, if I told you, hey, you know, we've won this game, we won 28-20, you know, we beat Ole Miss on the road, but I didn't tell you any stats, is there any chance on earth you would have told me that you felt like Chase Garbers threw four touchdown passes?
Yeah, I would have said so, because I think we're against good football teams, we're going to need to throw the ball, period. And so I think he's got the ability, and I feel even more confident after listening to some of the interviews. Bo Baldwin also said that he wasn't surprised one bit, and that this is how Chase practices every day. This is how he throws at practice all the time. So when you hear that from a coach and offensive coordinator that he wasn't surprised about it, it gives me a little bit of reassurance.
And I'm going to let you have a personal moment here. We're not supposed to personalize all the stuff in the show, but I know a kind of a cool moment happened for you during the game. You know, wide receivers are something you know really well, and a bunch of wide receivers got in the action. But this past week, a receiver named Trey Clark caught a touchdown pass. Tell us a little bit of why that was kind of so special to you and what that moment meant to you.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. The last year, I had a chance to coach Trayvon over at El Camino College, and we were conference champs and had a really great year. He was one of the top JUCO wide receivers in the country, if not the number one in yards. So he had a great season, but also he's such a great kid, and I never pushed Cal on him and said, you know, this is where you need to go, and so he naturally fell in love with it, and we had a connection, and the offer came, but just to get him to go to Cal was a big deal, because that's a school I feel, obviously, you know, I love that school more than anybody could love their own school, but having him go from El Camino and go to Cal was probably one of the top moments as a coach for me, just because I love my school, and he's more than qualified to be there. So, you know, just seeing that moment, and I know how much it means to him. I know how hard he works, and I know how much he deserves it. So I'm just super proud of him. Trey, if you're listening, man, congratulations. And yeah, go Bears. That was a big deal. I love it.
What's it like as a receiver, right? So yeah, you wrote this down in the notes that you and I talked through. 8 different receivers had catches on the day. You know, when you see your quarterback just humming like Chase was, and you know you have some favorite build matchups, what's it like as a receiver when you line up at the line of scrimmage? How hungry are you? I mean, are you more, I don't want to say trying hard, because I don't want to make it seem like people don't try hard, but you know, do your eyes go a little bigger? Do you light up a little bit more knowing that your quarterback's kind of got the hot hand that day?
No, to be honest, every single play that I lined up, I just felt like I had to do my job. I felt like the spotlight was there. I felt like, you know, I have to do my job. I got to get open. So for me, I don't think I took plays and, you know, it didn't vary. It didn't change for me at all. My approach was just like every play is the most important play. I got to do my job. And yeah, it was, I never let that affect me.
Well, I saw your film, Jeff. I can attest to that, man. You look like you're always open, but B, you never look like you took any plays off. Somebody else who didn't take plays off, and I don't know if we've done any biological testing. I'm not sure if this person's actually a human being, because he seems like he's a part man, part machine, part animal, part monster. But he looks like a nice guy, so I don't want to say those things about him. But Evan Weaver, what can you say about this kid? I mean, you know, He just week in and week out, he seems like he's the heart and soul of the defense. Maybe the heart and soul of the team. I don't know. But I mean, this kid is just on an unbelievable streak, and the things he's doing on the defensive side of the ball. Each week I look at his stats and I'm like, man, I got to refresh. That can't be right.
Right.
Wait, how many tackles did he have? Like, that can't be right. But every week it's right. What are you seeing out of Evan Weaver? And what does he mean to this Cal team, this Cal defense?
He's the heart and soul of that defense, no doubt. I mean, he's just a really impactful player. He's very, very smart kid and just tough. And he's epitome of what a linebacker is. And he's got a chip on his shoulder. I don't know why, and I don't know what happened to him, but he's got something to prove, and he goes out every week and does just that. So Coach Wilcox, he said, you know, it's one of those things that we might all kind of take for granted at this point, because it happens so often, we start to expect it. And, but really he deserves so much acknowledgement, and, you know, hopefully, I think, like I said, I compared him to Luke Kuechly earlier this year. And I think that he's going to be that type of player, from as he's been, and, you know, and there's more to come.
Well, like, I know you spent your career trying to stay away from the linebackers, but take me, how the heck does he get 11 solo tackles and 11, you know, assisted tackles in the game? Like, what is he doing that maybe other linebackers aren't doing? Is he just more aware of the play calls in advance, you think? Is he, you know, just using his angles better? Just from a technical perspective, you know, everybody wants to make a lot of tackles, but how is he able to pull this off each and every week?
Well, I think you've got to give a lot of credit to him, and then you've got to give credit to the defensive the scheme. But you also got to give credit to the defensive linemen down there, because they're taking up gaps, and you know, if they're able to keep those guards and tackles off linebackers, the linebackers are going to make the play every time. So I think it's a combination of a few things that make this whole thing go.
All right. Well, on the flip side, you know, one of the things that I think that, you know, with Chase's ascension, and I want to call it ascension as if he wasn't, you know, doing well before, but with sort of the game plan and the way it played out, the running game wasn't as prolific as we had seen through the first couple of weeks. Again, I know there were some injuries with Christopher Brown Jr. You know, obviously he played in the game, and you know, football players are typically always injured, right? In some form or fashion, something hurts. But the running game seemed to not be as big a factor, particularly against Ole Miss. Again, that could have been by design, but does that have you concerned kind of moving forward as you look at this team and the rest of the schedule?
You know, I was bothered by it, because I don't ever want to feel like we can't do something on offense. But I think ultimately, if you look at the matchup, we've got some new offensive linemen out there going up against some big boys in the SEC. And Ole Miss was really stout. I think, again, that we knew going into it, our matchups would be better in the air than trying to have it on the ground. So, yeah, I guess you can say it's by design that it happened that way. That's in my heart. I just believe that that's how it is. I think if we have a matchup where the running game favors us more, then that's what we're going to do.
What about on the defensive side of the ball? There was a lot of injuries. You know, how is that going to impact the team, you think, moving forward? You know, I think for the Ole Miss game, I think what Cam Good, Tevin Paul, Ben Hawk were all out. And obviously some younger guys got to play. I think I saw, if I read this correctly, that you know, there's another guy who's lost for this season. How do you think this will play out as you move forward? I know football can often be a war of attrition, but how do you see this the injury bug kind of biting the defense, helping them or hurting them moving forward?
Well, I think we're going to feel it, right? Like it was different out there at times against Ole Miss. It was different out there at times against North Texas. And anytime you're missing some key starters like we are, it's going to test your defense and your depth. But again, we're gaining valuable experience. And, you know, to be honest, I think it's going to pull the team closer, because you're going to depend on people and cheer for people and, you know, have to pump up guys that you might not have thought you needed before. And you'd be surprised at some new faces that pop out and show what they can do. So it gives opportunity to see new people rise up, and we get experience. And when those guys are all back healthy, we're just going to be that much more solid.
All right, so we got two games to think about. So that means you got two game balls to give out. So you can give out, you know, either maybe from both from the same game, if you want to give one from each game. Who kind of stood out to you, I guess, as you think big picture for the last 2 weeks? Who are the folks that you want to award game balls to?
I'd like to give a shout out to a guy who I haven't talked about much this season, but I've been waiting to, and that's Nico Remigio. Every game I just see him do something that catches my eye. He's really explosive and really hard to keep a tab on if you're on defense as far as trying to tackle him. So I think he's primed for a breakout game. He's had some consistent big plays, whether it's special teams or a slot. So that's one guy, and Chase Garbers has to get the game ball from last week, just because he had a career day, really good with the ball. Even the interception that he threw, I wasn't like, oh my God, how can you do that? That was a great play by that corner. That corner baited him and made a great play. And so I think he had a hell of a game, and he's definitely got my game ball from Ole Miss. But I always forget about Weaver. I feel bad about that. I feel bad about that, but I'm an offensive guy, Weave. You got to give me a break.
Well, luckily, 22 people felt his wrath against Ole Miss, so I don't think many people are forgetting about Evan Weaver. Yeah, I echo the Chase Garbers thing. Look, I think, I don't know, man, maybe it's just a sweet spot for me or whatever, but I agree with you that he's just easy to root for. You know, just seems like a good kid, seems like somebody who's, you know, who's team first, who, you know, is going out there and doing what the coaches are asked of him. You know, I'm sure every quarterback, and I know you've played with some of the best of all time. I'm sure they want to throw the ball in every play, right? They want to take shots down the field all the time. And obviously, you've got a system for a reason. You've got play calls for a reason. You have coaches for a reason. And it's their responsibility, as you know, to put you and the team in the best position. And so, Chase obviously is playing a few different roles, right? You know, he needs to, you know, quote unquote, win ugly against North Texas, but then they turn to him and say, hey, we need you this week, and he delivers. So, you know, I know he's a little bit maligned by the fans, I suppose, but I'm going to give my game ball to Chase Carver. But here's the question I want to know from you is, do you think that he's done enough to win over the skeptics, or knowing sort of the fickle nature of fans, do you think if he has a less than Ole Miss stellar game this Friday night, do you think he's going to kind of fall back in the doghouse?
Yeah, we're very fickle at Cal, just because, I mean, it's just, you know, that's just how it is. And I won't complain about it, because we have a chance. We're in control of our destiny right now, and he has the ability to keep it going. So I think as long as we keep sticking to the script and whatever that script is, whether it's run or pass or whatever, if we do that and we're winning, then everybody's going to love him. We just got to keep winning.
Obviously, Evan Weaver is another one. But let's talk about Evan Weaver in this context. I want to get your perspective on this as a former player. What did you make of the very last two plays, if you will, of the Ole Miss game, just in terms of how crazy all that was and sort of what was happening on the field? Obviously, the catch that didn't get reviewed, and after the fact, if you saw the replays, it clearly wasn't a touchdown. But what did you think about, and then obviously the Ole Miss quarterback tried to sneak there, and Evan Weaver was certainly not happy with that idea and decided to not let him in the end zone. What did you think of, from a player's perspective, those last two plays and how all that played out?
I think that was probably the most intense, you know, I don't know how many seconds that was, but those last two plays were extremely intense. And I think, you know, somewhat more manageable on defense than it was for their offense. I think they had more pressure on them than it was on us.
What do you, as a defensive player, there's not a lot of time to sort of, you know, scheme for that, right? Like it's kind of go. What's take us inside. What's the call like from a defensive standpoint? What are you looking for? Obviously, Weaver made a great play. Is that something that you sort of practice, as having to sort of move that quickly in a goal line situation on defense?
Oh yeah, I think you practice as many scenarios as possible, and that's something that you're going to go over and practice for sure. Is when a team is down, the clock's expiring, and they've got to run a couple plays, and that kind of helps the defense. I think it's their advantage, because the offense can't get too crazy or cute. They have to do something that works or something that makes sense. So QB sneak in that situation was somewhat. You could tell it was coming. You knew it was coming. So. I think it's to the defense's advantage when the time is clicking out and expiring like that.
What's the craziest ending of a game you've been a part of?
Oh, I don't know. Let me think. I don't know. The first one that just popped up, and I'm just going to say it, but when we lost to USC, that was it was crazy. In 2004, we had more offense than them. I mean, they had 202 yards or something like that, total offense, or maybe passing. But definitely something really low like that for total offense. And we had over 400 yards, and we just couldn't score. We couldn't score on the last drive of the game against USC. And they were ranked number one in the country. We were ranked 7 at the time.
Gotcha. Yeah. All right, let's talk about next week, or I guess this upcoming week, Friday night, Arizona State Sun Devils are coming to town. And obviously, you probably haven't had a ton of time to go through and look at every single solitary, you know, bit of film on Arizona State. But what do you expect in this matchup this Friday night? Is it weird as a player to play on an odd night like that? You know, I know Saturday is typically the days. Does that throw off your rhythm and routine as a player when you play on sort of a quote unquote off night?
It definitely does. But I don't think it's a big deal. Like for me, again, it wouldn't change my approach or anything like that. You got to go out and play the game. So. It's not a big deal, but it definitely throws your rhythm off and your schedule. So, you know, does it matter that much? I'm not sure, but it's different and it feels weird for sure.
So what do you expect in this game? So Arizona State's 3-1, 0-1 in conference right now. Kind of a younger team. I think they're still breaking in a true freshman quarterback, Jaden Daniels. Herm Edwards of NFL fame is their head coach. Have you had any chance to look at Arizona State? And yeah, what do you kind of expect as they come to town here on Friday night?
They got a lot of great skill players on offense. Their defense is definitely one of the top defenses we'll face up to this point. And I think they're going to be a big challenge for us. But I also think that they haven't played anybody like us. I think this quarterback is young. They've got a 4-star kid. And is he a true freshman or a redshirt?
I think he's a true freshman. I'm trying to look at that right now. I think he's a true freshman.
But yeah, that's going to be difficult to go up against Cal. I know he had a hot game last week, threw for a lot of yards against Colorado.
Yeah.
But we're not Colorado, and it's just going to be a different game. So hopefully our defense comes ready to go, because we got a challenge ahead of us.
Yeah. So quickly, Arizona State, they beat Kent State pretty handily. Kind of struggled against Sacramento State, 19-7. Beat Michigan State on the road 10-7, and what set offense back like a million years. And then Colorado this past weekend, they lost 34-31. So they are coming in off a loss. I mean, I guess Michigan State's usually a quality team, although they're a bit down this year. So it'll be interesting to see what that looks like. So as a defensive coordinator, and you're lining up to game plan, and you see a true freshman quarterback on the other side, what are you doing to sort of make his nights a little bit miserable?
Well, the first thing you want to do is make sure you try to get some pressure, get him to get rid of the football before he has time to think about what he's doing. And you also want to mix up your coverages. He's not used to seeing, those pre-snap stems where defenses are rotating and safeties are rolling up and down, corners are backing off. So just give him a variety of looks and don't just line up and let him play football. Give him something to think about.
All right, I'm not going to hold you to this. It's just me and you talking here. give me a final score of the game. What do you think? What do you think is going to happen on Friday night?
31-17, Cal.
31-17, Cal. You heard it here first, folks. Jeff McArthur doesn't make a lot of predictions, but when he does, they're normally right. All right, let's have a little fun now. So we introduced this last show. We called this Tree of the Week. Lovingly, we named this after our friends who don't really have a mascot, so they adopted a tree, which is whatever. So what did you see this these past couple of weeks, Jeff, that had you kind of scratching your head and calls for you to name this person or this thing or this team as the Tree of the Week?
One of my favorite coaches in college football, he's getting this award this week, and that's Mike Leach over at Washington State. Blowing that lead to UCLA was embarrassing. It was totally preventable, and that's kind of one of the negatives about having a spread offense where you're throwing the ball all the time is you don't really have a lot of running plays to get you out of those situations. So yep, he gets the Tree of the Week. Sorry, Mike Leach.
What's it like playing for a coach like that? I know obviously you never played for him directly, I'm sure, but what's it like playing for a coach like Mike Leach, who's a little eccentric? I mean, he's certainly maybe the polar opposite of Justin Wilcox in terms of sort of the way that he carries himself with the media. As a player, is that fun, you think? Do you think the guys enjoy playing for a personality like that?
Everybody's different, right? Everybody will take that differently. Me personally, I would be extremely entertained, and it would be a pleasure to play for a guy like that just because I would enjoy listening to him talk. I can listen to him talk right now. I'll probably get on a podcast after this and just listen to him talk. He's a very he's smart, but he's extremely, extremely intelligent. So to me, I'd have a blast playing for him.
I'm sorry, Jeff, I gotta do this to you, man. I gotta call you out. I'm gonna call BS on the entire answer. You want to play for Mike Leach because he's gonna throw the rock, and as a receiver, you can't wait to start running down the field and catching some of those fly routes. That's probably the real reason you want to play for Mike Leach.
Right? I promise you, I didn't consider that, but you're absolutely right. I think naturally, innately, I knew that was the real reason. So.
you receivers are all the same. We know you want the rock, so we know you're gonna go wherever. Wherever someone's throwing it up to you. My Tree of the Week is Ole Miss quarterback Matt Corral. Matt got in front of some media folks and on Twitter and whatnot, and he was asked about the Cal game, and he said, and I quote, "They're from California. They're used to the California lifestyle. They're not used to the Mississippi heat, the weather, the humidity." And unfortunately for Matt, that as they say in America these days, that did not age well. And unfortunately, Matt was proven wrong. The California lifestyle turned out to be a 28-20 win. Look, I never like to go after college kids. I mean, if everyone looked at all the things I did or said when I was like 19 or 20, I'm sure it wouldn't be any better for me. But sometimes, just not saying anything is is the better thing to do. And as a leader of teams, Jeff, you've been on teams, you've led teams. If you were walking into the facility and someone's like, "Hey, did you hear what your quarterback said?" and you hear that quote, as a leader of a team, what do you say to your quarterback? What do you do?
Well, I don't say anything to him, because if he's making comments like that, he's not going to listen to me. So I wouldn't say anything, but at the same time, he's definitely going to lose a couple notches of just in his belt in my eyes, especially when he's from California. The kid, you know, he's a California kid, so I wouldn't doubt if he was actually talking about his own experiences being in Ole Miss.
That's a good point. Yeah, I didn't consider that. I guess that's a good point. But again, it's easy to make him the tree of the week after you see the results of it. But certainly not the smartest thing to say, unfortunately, heading into Cal, who now ranked 15th. So I know you told me in the past, "Hey, look, we don't care about rankings. No one looks at the rankings." A bunch of teams fell this past weekend. Not a ton of good games in front of the 15 ranking this week. How excited do you think the guys are? How excited are the sort of the fans, you think, about this ranking right now?
I think everybody's pumped up. I think as a player, our team is excited, because this is something they worked really hard for, and a lot of people counted us out. And you know, one of the great joys in life is doing what people say you can't do. So I think our team is really, really excited, and they have something to protect. And that's kind of cool, because every week, you know, it's hard day in and day out. You're practicing. It becomes a grind. You're balancing academics and sport, and you need something to shoot for. And to stay undefeated is a great motivating tool.
Yeah, a lot of teams in the Pac-12 ranked, but the Cal Bears are right now the highest ranked. That was the Utah loss, Washington, USC. And so at number 15, Cal is the top ranked Pac-12 team. A couple of matchups this week's Virginia, Notre Dame. Virginia, if Notre Dame goes down, Cal could move up there, so that's an option as well. And obviously, you never know what'll happen from an upset perspective. But I hate to start asking this question so soon, but people are probably going to start wondering about it at some point. If Cal continues on the streak, Jeff, do you think that they are a viable contender for the college football playoff?
I think we should be considered, but at the same time, you know how politics go, and you know I'm not even going to get into that just because I don't want to get worked up. So it's one of those things that we'll worry about when we get there. We just got to keep on winning, and hopefully, you know, we get a fair chance to showcase ourselves in front of the entire nation.
Man, that was a good diplomatic answer. That was well done. That was well said on your part. But I'm sure I'll get you fired up more off air once this thing kind of keeps rolling, and if they're not in that list. So yeah. I promise you, fans, I'll ask Jeff that question every week until we get him fired up, and he has to give you a little bit of sass on that one. But again, we appreciate you for tuning in. If you want to follow us and learn more about what we're doing over here, you can find us on Twitter. You can follow us at Believe in Cal. That's BLEAV in Cal. Or you can also follow my partner in crime here, Jeff MacArthur, at Coach MacArthur 6, also on Twitter. Feel free to lob your questions into us. Let us know what's on your mind. We'll take some questions as we think about future shows and make sure that you guys have a voice in this. You know, Jeff and I want to include the Cal family. And so if you have things that you want to hear about, questions for Jeff, you want to hear some good stories from his time in the program, please don't hesitate. Find us on Twitter. And make sure you also subscribe, rate, review to the podcast. You know, again, we're a new show to Believe. And what a perfect year to start a show for Cal football, right? I mean, this was just fate, right?
Yeah, this is meant to be. I believe so.
So make sure you tell them that, hey, look, you like Cal sports, you like Cal football, and you want to hear more about it. So find us on all of your podcast platforms. Subscribe, rate, review, leave us comments, leave us ratings. 5 stars is an option. I'm not saying you have to, but if you want to, 5 stars is an option. But again, let the good folks at Believe know how much you want some Cal content. And looks like we'll hunker down on a Friday night, Jeff. We'll watch the game. We'll take some notes. And then we'll return next week, and we'll let you know what we saw. We'll let you know the good, the bad, the ugly. We'll hand out some more Tree of the Week awards and some more game balls as well. So as always, you know, the Believe in Cal podcast is here for you, and we'll be back again next week. So until then, Jeff, I'm going to sign off, man. And let's everybody go Bears.
Hey, go Bears. Cheers.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. and the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.